There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning into the podcast. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh. We would like to welcome you and thank you for being a part of the podcast. And this is the end of the book of Hebrews. This is our last segment. We certainly are thankful for what the Lord has done. We're thankful for all the preaching God has given us, the teaching, the instruction. I want to thank the Lord for helping me. I want to thank the Lord for working in my life through this podcast. This is our 49th message on the book of Hebrews. We thank the Lord for each and every message. Thank the Lord for what he's taught us, instructed us. And we started this on January 29th. And now the Lord has brought us into February, March, early into April, and we finished the book of Hebrews, and I thank the Lord for his goodness. We are, hopefully, by this time in Oklahoma and heading towards Oklahoma City. If you listen to this later in the day, we should be in Oklahoma City, ready for the services tonight at the Sooner Rose Baptist Church, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then again on Wednesday night. They've been a supporting church of ours for about the last 5-6 years, and we thank the Lord for that. And Brother Herbert Williamson, my former pastor down in Maryland, he'd taken that church and held that congregation together for a couple of years, built the church up and brought a man in. And I knew Brother Doug Bell many years ago, 17 plus years ago, I met him. And he was on deputation at the time. We became good friends. They stayed in our home. I've been to their home when they were in Kentucky. And it'll be a joy to be with them back in Oklahoma. And then up next week, we'll be talking much about the meeting down in Antlers, as Brother Kevin Sheridan has taken that church and is trying to get a work going there. And he has a work going there. He has folks coming, has young people interested in the things of God there. And so we're looking forward to that meeting. If you're able to make any one of those, we'd appreciate you coming. And if not, would you please pray for the meetings, pray for the services, and pray for the McVeigh family. It's a long road out there. And I know my wife and children especially would desire your prayers. Word of God goes on here in verse 18 of chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And what a great thing that is. What a great statement. Pray for us. Regardless of anything else you do, pray for us. Whether you disagree with us or don't like us or think ill of us, would you pray for us? We're trying to have a good conscience doing these things. We're trying to live honestly. We're not trying to be deceitful. And we're not trying to be dishonest and crafty and hiding what we teach and what we preach and hide our finances and hide all of it. No, we're trying to be open, trying to be honest. We're trying to just tell people what God said and letting God work through us and in us. So please pray for us. And that's the message that Paul gives here. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience. And I trust I have a good conscience towards you, towards my family, towards my life. You know, a man that's secretly in sin, pornography and adultery and a thief and covetous or a liar, and they just have to cover up the lie all the time, they can't have a good conscience. But thank God he gave me a good conscience toward God. Thank God he changed my conscience. I believe in ministry. I can say I do all things honestly with integrity. I believe my finances are above board. I believe my manner of life is above board. Been faithful to my wife and loved my wife, and I thank God for that. I thank God that he's gotten us out of a snare, gotten us out of temptation, and he's made a way of escape for us. And all of those things of covetousness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, God's made a way of escape. We want to have honesty. We want to have integrity in the ministry. That's not a good, strong Bible word, but I like it anyway. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. So if you'd pray about this, Paul said, I'll be restored to you the sooner. And if I'm going to come back and minister to you and preach to you, you pray about this. You pray that God would continue to work, continue to move in the ministry, continue to help us in the ministry. And you think about the Apostle Paul in peril of the thieves and of robbers and storms and shipwrecks and beatings and scourgings and all of the things that he must suffer. And the Lord showed him that before he went in the ministry. But the thing with the Lord is you're going to suffer And if he calls you under suffering, you're going to suffer as his child because he's called you to suffer. He's chosen you to suffer. You're going to learn obedience through that suffering. And yet through that, as Paul said, his grace is sufficient for me. His grace will be sufficient. I've known many who respond to that call of suffering. No one asked for it. That's not a mantle you want. And I know a dear preacher, a friend of mine, talks about a man he knew years ago. And he asked for a preacher's mantle. He said, Lord, would you help that mantle to fall upon me? But what he did not know he was asking is that mantle was a mantle of suffering. That man had power with God because of his suffering. It wasn't in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the power of God. And that's what a lot of folks are looking at. There might be folks covetous of our ministry and say, well, you know, McVeigh's, you know, he has this and this. And, you know, and it's small beans as we are, it's small potatoes. It's just the natural man or the carnal man. He has those instincts of jealousies and envies and bitterness. And, you know, and I've seen that over the years. And yet as small as we are and as, you know, minute as we are, there's people that get those jealousies reared up in them or they're envious of something that we, you know, are a part of. And, you know, you look at those things and you almost grieve over that. You go, my goodness, if you saw our ministry and saw the struggles we have and the troubles we have. We've been 3 days coming here to Oklahoma. We stopped in Evansville Wednesday night to see my dad, Thursday on the road to Joplin, and now on into Oklahoma City. And nobody looks at that. All they see is what they think are the glories, what they think are the marks. But you realize you can do all the things the McVeighs do without God. You can go and preach. You can go into evangelism. You can travel around the world. You can raise support. You can be a big name evangelist without God. You can do all of these things without the power of God. But what you cannot do is have the power of God. You can't do that without him. And you can't see a mighty work of God. God can work through Balaam's ass. The word of God told us that. And God can work through things beyond the norm of what God works through Balaam. However, you and I today, the day in which we live with, how much better it is if we just walked with God and had power with God. So pray for us. But I beseech you rather to do this that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And can I say to you with all integrity of my heart and all sincerity of my conscience toward you, I beseech you to do these things, that the God of peace, that brought again the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Why do we do this podcast? It's mostly for the saints of God. I know there's some folks that have listened to this for a couple of years. It's been influential in them coming to Christ, but it's just another drop of water in that bucket that God uses. One man speaks, another man speaks, another man speaks, another man speaks. One's planted, one's watered, another waters, and then God finally gives the increase. And I'm very well aware of that. It may have just been a drop of water I provided. It may have been 2 drops of water. It might have been the one that planted the seed. I don't know these things. God knows these things, but it's him that giveth the increase. So therefore, neither he that planteth nor he that watereth is anything. And so I hope to your account, the saints of God, those you saved that are listening, those you in the house of God, maybe not even saved, to make you perfect in every good work to do his will. That's the goal. That's the goal of ministry. That's the goal of every pastor, is to make you perfect, to do his will. It's not about going soul winning every day or running the bus route twice a week and all the works and the labors that you can outwardly see. No, it's doing the will of God, presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and being not conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, what? That you may, it's permissive there. He will let you. Why? He's a faithful God. He's a holy God. And he said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've preached for many, many years. It's not 3 wills of God. It's not like, oh, I'm in the good will of God now. Well, you know, about to get into this acceptable will of God. You know, hey, look, I'm in the perfect will of God finally after all these. No, the will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. The will of God is perfect. There's one will of God. And my friend, if you make the will of God is to make you perfect. That is the will of God. He wants to perfect you. all honesty, all, listen, all sincerity, no secrets, no hiddenness, no viciousness on the inside. None of those ugly things when you were lost. None of those things rearing their ugly head. That is his goal. That is the will of God, that everyone listening to this podcast be clean, be washed, be perfect in Jesus Christ. That is his goal. That's what he wants from you. And so Paul is telling us this. He's making you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So whose work is that? It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that shepherd of the sheep. He's the one that works in you. He's the one that's going to guide you. He's the one that's going to inwardly change you to bring out of you the absolute best that he can. The problem is I'm in the way. You're in the way. The problem is our flesh, our ideals, our opinions, our thinking. All those things have interfered with God doing his will and his son working through us to do his will. But he said, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And how does he work that in us? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The reason a lot of people can't do the will of God is they don't have Jesus Christ. The reason a lot of people can't do what God wants them to do, they don't have Jesus Christ. They don't have that inward work of God. They don't have that inward man made that inward change, and therefore they cannot do the will of God. What does God want from you? He wants that inward man to be his. He wants that old man to die. He wants that old man to be cast off. He wants to clothe you in his righteousness. And then he wants to take that inward man that's been renewed in Christ, and he wants to work through him, that inward man. But he can't do that when you resist him. You can't do that until you submitted yourself. So his salutation, the whole book of the book of Hebrews, as he salutes them, he says, this is what our whole desire is. We wrote these 49 podcasts. We've preached the whole book of Hebrews. Paul wrote 13 chapters. Why? That you and I might be made perfect. That Christ can work through us to do his will. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. So just, you know what, take this letter of exhortation and let it be so. This is not an offense to you. And it's funny, he tells them that knowing that one day, I believe the Lord knew that men are going to throw out the book of Hebrews, say, well, it's just for the Jews, it's not for us. It's just for the Hebrews, it's not for us. But no, he said, suffer you this exhortation. These hyper-dispensationalists missed that part of Hebrews. Hey, take this exhortation. You know what? And let it happen. Let this exhortation be to all the churches. Let this exhortation still be preached. Let this exhortation still tell us. And he didn't say encouragement. He said exhortation. Why? He's verbally challenging them through his letter, through the writing of his hand, to live better, to live more righteous, to live more holy. And what does that but the doctrines of Jesus Christ? That will help you more than anything. And then he goes on and says, know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. And so he lets them know, I'll be able to come preach to you in person. What a blessing that is. You know, one of the great joys of ministry is when you go to a church where they're glad to see you and they want you there. And they know the doctrine you're teaching and preaching, it needs to be a part of their life. And they can overlook your flaws and your failures, although you're trying to make them perfect, but you fail at every turn. And your speech fails at every turn. And your actions fail at every turn. And your attitude fails at every turn. But you go there and they're desirous to see you. Can you imagine the joy of being a preacher? And you send out a letter and say, hey, if such and such, such and such happens, Lord willing, we long to be with you. And because our brother's been set at liberty, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Why? Because he's going to deliver me to you. He's going to bring me down to where you are. And the people just rejoice. They rejoice as they wept when Paul left. Now they rejoice because he's returned. Oh, the joy of those churches. Those dear to our heart, those special to us, where the word of God is gladly received in spite of us, yet always trying to perfect that ministry, always trying to perfect what we're doing, always trying to make it better, always trying to come across better. But the joy of being received with gladness. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Can I say to you, church, to you saved folk, to those of you listening, salute all them that have the rule over you. Why are you going to salute them? Because they're worthy of that double honor. They have that rule. They labor in the word of God. They've established that rule. The Apostle Paul makes much of them. Salute them. Ladies, when your husband comes home, salute him. I don't mean stand at the doorway with a military salute, but give him salutations, greetings. Why, he's worthy of it. He has the burden of his home. He has the weight of his home. He has that weight that weighs him down, or the burdens of the souls of his children and of his grandchildren. And salute him. Salute that pastor. Salute that evangelist. Greet them as only you can do. Why? Because they bear the burden. And they bear the burden for your family and for my family. And they bear the burden of the people of God upon their heart. My friend, they're worthy to be saluted. And then he said, and all the saints. Why? Because we ought to bear one another's burdens. We all ought to be carrying that burden. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And then the word of God says this, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. So how did he know our brother Timothy set at liberty? Because he's with Paul. And if he goes to see them, Paul is going with them. We know, of course, according to the history of the Bible, understanding the word of God, the Apostle Paul is going to see them again, but it's going to be with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I salute you. I thank you. I thank you for being a part of this podcast, making it what it is, making it increase. Lord, we'll be back on here Monday with a new series, or at least a message on Monday. I'm not sure exactly what we'll do. But I would like to thank each and every one of you that pray, those of you that send in support, those of you that tried to help us with our sound, those of you that just give us exhortation, those of you that contact us and let us know it's been a help. Can I say to you, press on, keep in the work of God, lift up your heads, lift up those feeble hands that lay down, lift them up, lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Why don't you just go and praise him, just bless his name, and just thank you for what he's done. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for what he's done for you, what he's done. And if he hasn't done anything for you, thank you for what he can do. He's worthy of that praise. He's worthy of that honor. Again, see us on Monday. Pray for the meetings this weekend. God bless you.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manassa Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glory.